Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another episode of The Greatest Show on Tuesday Night. That's right, I said it. The Greatest Show on Tuesday Night, the virtual talk show, Merry Men Don't Talk. This show comes to you by the head of households, Tony, Rodney, and myself, Patrice, P-Town. And you can find us on our website at www.householdstress.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Come and talk to us. Come and check us out. Get to know us. I want to put in a breaking news alert. Breaking news alert that for the first time you're hearing it here is that we have a book. We have a book that's going to come out. And as a matter of fact, it's out now. Go to Amazon.com and you can get it. Amazon.com and you can get it. And Tone, if you don't mind, if I give you a quick second, can you go ahead and just give the name of the book and what's it about?
The book is called Married Men Don't Talk, and it's about this conference call that we do every Tuesday. We've taken seven chapters out of the book, turned it from conversation into text, and that's it.
Go get it. The price is on Amazon.com.
$13.95. Married Men Don't Talk, $13.95, and it's also an ebook as well.
Also, that means you can download it. I'm going to download it right now.
Yes.
It will be in my Kindle by the end of the night. It will be on my Kindle. I will be the first buyer to buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure of that. That is a goal. That is a goal that we tried to achieve these past 2+ years, going on 3 years, when it's called Never Missing a Tuesday Night. Never Missing a Tuesday Night. That's fantastic. We only got a couple more months, and then, bam, anniversary time again.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, folks, we'll probably hear some advertisement all night on this. But, gentlemen, we have a couple of rules. No cursing, and it's okay to agree to disagree. But let's respect everybody else's thoughts and statements. With that said, here we go. Our topic tonight is the economy ruining my marriage. Is the economy ruining my marriage? That's right. I said my. I didn't say our. I didn't say yours. I think you're going to find out that we're hitting a lot of people's doorstep tonight and get ready to ring that doorbell. And that's fine. What we want to do is help each other out to see if we can get to a point where we can save our marriages and don't have to worry about the economy, where economy is not an issue. But when money is tight, relationships tend to turn rocky. You know that part of the classic wedding vows, in which most of us said when we said our wedding vows, that you vowed to stick together for richer or for poor. Well, a lot of us will, and a lot of us will put that to the test. Let's talk about it tonight. Let's blame the economy on shaking up once solid unions. Marital roles are shifting as one-time breadwinners just go about unemployment. I want to tell you about myself. I want to give you a story about myself. And I don't mind saying it. I don't think my wife minds saying it, because we're one of a million plus folks that have gone through it or are going through it at this point in time. But I believe we went through a financial crisis, and we're trying to come out of that financial crisis this year. A couple years ago, I got a great job. My wife got a great job. Everything was beautiful. And now all of a sudden, we came into an economic standstill. My wife lost her job. My job reduced and stop giving bonuses and giving, you know, extra benefits. And it almost is like that we came into a fixed income. Hey, BJ, hit the mute button on your phone until you're ready to talk, sir.
Oh, man, sorry about that.
No, you good. Just hit the mute button on your phone, too. You ready to talk. Now, with that being said, I have to be honest. We went from two income, great incomes, to one income. Now, my income was okay. My income should be able to take care of the bills and everything. But the problem was, is it wasn't the first 6 months because we had a lot of money stored away. You know, a lot of us have heard growing up that you need to have at least 3 to 6 months in your savings account for hard times. And we had that, and I think we were okay. But 3 months came to 6 months. 6 months came to a year, year and a half, that we only were down to one income. With that also being said, we felt like we could still live the same life and still take the same vacations and still go out with our friends and still, you know, buy the $500 worth of groceries a month without making any changes. And we saw that savings, that 3 to 6 month savings that we had, slowly starting to decrease. And with that, it now a year is gone. In a year, that 6 months is gone. My company did not give me a raise. You know, my wife, even though she found a on-call job, the kids' daycare went up on prices. Electric bill went up. Water bill went up. Cable bill went up. Everybody went up on their prices. Gas went up. But no more income was coming in. We were still set at the same income. Well, this starts bringing in, after a year or so, going into 2 years, conflicts in how we're doing things. Right? First, you got the wife saying that you're exaggerating on the financial difficulties, that we still should be okay, but if we change our ratchet lifestyle and reduce things, maybe we can save a little money. Well, like I told her, I said, yes, we can cut, but we don't have any other bills. The only bills that we have, we don't have a credit card bill. All we have is water. You can't cut water off. Got to have water. Got to wash your tail and brush your teeth every morning. Wash some clothes. You can't cut electricity. So what is there to cut?
NFL package.
You know, it's like the government. They talking about we won't make all these cuts. But what is there to cut when people need this stuff? This is your everyday stuff that you need. So well, we can cut going out. Well, the problem is that in cutting going out, I work later. I work, you know, a long time. She works on call. There's no telling when you can bring home some food. So you end up doing the opposite of what you thought you would be able to do because you end up having to buy food because you have to get the kids in bed at a certain time. They got to get their homework done. And you just don't have time to get up in that kitchen. So my question to the audience is, have you ran into that, and what do you do? What was your option when there is no other option where you can't recut anything?
Well, there's always something to cut. I mean, you don't have to have cable.
Right.
And I think that you just have to look at it that way, that, you know, we look at cable and internet. We almost look at those as necessities. And in some ways you can argue that they're necessities, but in other ways, they're modern day luxuries. You know, so, you know, when it comes time, like in your case, you were saying, I haven't had that happen to me, you know, with the, you know, with the job change or anything like that. But if it did, I would absolutely be looking at the, you know, cutting some stuff, because it's always something to cut. You know, it's always something to cut. You know, my daughter, my oldest daughter, plays the piano and goes to ballet, you know, twice a week. So, you know, though, things like that, unfortunately, would have to be cut, because, like you say, you need heat and electricity and water. I mean, those are necessities, but, you know, let's not get it twisted that there's, you know, there's nothing to cut, because there's always something to cut.
There's always something to cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about how travel? You know, if gas keep going up $4, you know, you still got to go in to work.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So how do you cut that? How do you reduce those things?
I'm carpool. Talking,
Carpool. Carpool?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but, you know, now we live in the, I live in a metropolitan area, and it's just hard to carpool when you got to drive 45 minutes to go downtown, D.C.
True.
And somebody has to go one place or you have to go the other. And they do have carpooling here, and they even have buses going here, but that's another expense.
Yeah, with different, you know, in Metro D.C., I mean, it is possible to do the carpool thing, don't get me wrong, but when you have varying schedules and children, I mean, it can be a challenge. It can be a challenge.
Yeah, man, it's huge challenges to families. And let's just be honest. When you first got married, what is your American dream? You know, people want to fulfill that American dream.
Man, have a house on land, all that.
Yeah, I mean, the house, the two
the
kids
house,
and
cars,
the dogs.
Yeah.
White picket fence.
But, I mean, yeah, and you're right. But look at the economy and how families have lost. Because they want that American dream, have lost that American dream. They have lost the house, the picket fence, the car.
I think. Oh, really? I'm not, you know, picking at none of y'all, but I really think that being that, you know, it's the recession or whatever the case may be, it pretty much pulled a whole lot of people's cards, especially families, you know, that actually have husband, wife, whatever the case may be, because you're used to a certain lifestyle. And most of the time, in households, the man and wife live beyond their means. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying being all conservative, but I'm not saying being all liberal either. But a lot of people buy things that they really can't afford just because they have the money there. And you can buy it, and all your bills are paid for the month, doesn't mean that you should buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Because it's going to happen again. The economy is going to go up, and it's going to go right back down to the dumps before I die. A recession happens almost every decade. Because people start spending money that either they don't have, and that's credit cards, and, of course, some companies want their money back.
Right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Do you think this generation is spoiled? Do you think we saw our parents with the wells in the yard and getting beat down because they say don't use all the water, the hot water, and they lived in their means, and so that means you didn't get a lot. You only got the 2-3 pair of jeans, or you got the hand-me-down, to where the point where when you out on your own, you're saying, I don't want to live like that. I want to give myself more.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Well, use the common sense that your parents raised you to have and beat inside your head. And I end up, this generation right here, you know, is woo, what? I don't know. Because I don't know how they're going to survive being adults. Because they have, you understand what I'm saying? For the most part, these children don't know tit from tat, man. Got a traffic jam. Lord have mercy. But I'm saying, they don't know tit from tat. So when they see a $200 pair of jeans and they got $206 in their pockets, they would much rather spend it on them jeans and not worry about what comes after. They live for the moment, not living for the future. And that's a scary, scary thought. But it's reality also.
Anybody else want to expand on that? Yeah, I mean, that you're right. I mean, that is a scary, scary thought because we live in a generation of credit. We live in a generation of credit. And credit is one of the things that has affected our economy and our family. Even before we even got together and said, I do. That richer and poor, I think we don't even realize that we already start out as poor.
That's right.
We bring in to the marriage our luggage. Your wife has her luggage, and if you marry somebody like I did out of college, she got her financial aid that you got to pay back, and I got mine.
Mm-hmm.
So we already start in the hole. And then instead of budgeting, saying, all right, we're going to get this apartment for a while, and we get our good jobs, and then that should be able to take care of all of our bills, and then we'll still be able to go out and have a little fun, go on vacations, because our jobs is giving us vacation days so we can spend money. We use that credit to get ourselves more in debt than where we can't even keep our head over water. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it goes back to what BJ said earlier. You got to live within your means.
And I mean, just because you have this decent job, you know, or both parents have, you know, a pretty good job, 60 grand, 70 grand a year, something like that, whatever the case may be, and you're able to afford something at the time being, you have to think about the hard times, too, because, I mean, it ain't promised, you know, and everybody should know. And if you didn't know before marriage, you probably know now, it's going to be some hard times, one way or the other. I don't care how rich you are or how much money you get per week or however you get paid. It's going to be some hard times nonetheless. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference between our parents and our grandparents' generation and our kids and the kids' kids' generation. That's the difference. They didn't have a whole lot, but they pinched every penny they did. They didn't spend on a lot of things. You understand what I'm saying? And especially if they had kids.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? Everything went to the kids. Everything went for the benefit of those kids to do better and be better as adults. Now, it ain't like that now.
It's nothing for the kids. It's about you, right?
Exactly. So the recession, I see it, this recession right here is probably one of the worst ones since the Great Depression. Is pretty much, hopefully, it teaches everybody, look, man, regardless if it's a bad economy or not, man, you got to save your pennies. You got to pinch. You got to. You have to. Just because you're able to afford Olive Garden three times a week for lunch or meet your girlfriends or your homies for lunch doesn't mean that you do it.
Yep.
And that's real. It's crazy.
And you can't see me right now, but I'm raising my hand because I'm one of those people who the folks at work say, let's go out and eat. Let's go. Where are we going for lunch today?
Right.
You know, and I got to hit Starbucks two times, maybe once or twice a day. It's mandatory. And those little duckies add up. You're talking about just in Starbucks alone. Now, I don't get the mochas and add all that because that's $6 at if you get a venti, you know, and you start adding that stuff. That's $4, $5, $6. But you're talking about just getting a coffee, $2.50, $2.60, a large coffee in the morning, a large coffee in the afternoon. That's $5 a day just in coffee. And then I get lunch. Lunch now, there's no such thing as a $5 lunch. Lunch is a minimum $8 to $10.
You ain't lying about that.
Mm-hmm. And that's McDonald's sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you add that to your budget, you may have a problem when you get home and your wife is like, why can't you fix your lunch?
Right.
You know, that's an argument. Like, she's saying, well, you know, I'm not eating. I take the lunch from leftovers last night. You always forgetting. I fix it for you, but you forgetting it. Now you out here. I check the bank account, and you just spent $12 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And those $12 times five add up. That's $60 gone from your bank account.
That's
so
right. I've
gotten so used to it. And that's why I said it's me, because I've gotten so used to it, it's hard for me to stop. But I know I need to stop, because I've been doing it for years.
Right.
How do you stop? I'm like an addict. I'm addicted to just going out for lunch at work.
I'm with you on that, brother. I don't know how you stop.
Man, I'm gonna tell you what. This how you do, because I just started doing this. I mean, not even 2 weeks ago. All right, I'm usually, this is just me by myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm single, so. I'm out on the road on the average 15 days at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I spend X amount of hundreds of dollars on just what I need to survive out here, water, food. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, 2 weeks ago, I sat back and I looked at all this, you know, all my ATM receipts, like, this got to stop. This has to stop. I mean, I'm by myself, you know what I'm saying? So I ain't got nobody to answer to, you know what I mean? But this is what I started doing. I started going to Walmart. And I would eat only once a day. Like, I will buy something once a day. And that's probably, like, you know, something from Subway, 6-inch, whatever, or a foot long, depends on if it's $5. Load it up with vegetables. You know what I'm saying? There goes my vegetable intake for the day. I got bananas, apples. I buy gallon jugs of water, and I fill up my old 1-liter Aquafina bottles. Okay, put it in my cooler. All right? 2 weeks ago, I started this. Now, here I am. I'm almost done with this rotation. I'm on my 13th day. I've saved over half of the X amount of hundreds of dollars. Just like that. Just by changing. If you change it for a week, and you see how much money is in your pocket, you'll stick by it. Trust me.
Exactly. Yeah.
You stick by it.
Another way to tackle that, fellas, I don't know if you have the capabilities, but, you know, I use my lunch hour to work out. Go for a run. Do something at work. And I'm going to be honest with you, then I come back and, you know.
You be hungry when you come back.
When I come back, then I go to Sam's Club and I buy my, what is it, the big thing of oatmeal. And I have me some oatmeal. And that'll be that.
A pack of oatmeal, like, you know, in the packets.
The one packet of oatmeal. And I'm telling you, it started out rough. But that discipline of being able to do it not only paid dividends with me and my physical fitness, but also with the pocketbook. So, I mean, if you can, I mean, just go for a jog. I mean, you know, you could probably map out a route. You know, those of you that work at a particular place, a solid location, you could probably map out a route or go for a walk. I mean, you ain't got to run. You know, and just go for a walk and then come back. And then it's twofold, because then you're
getting yourself physically get fit, but then you come back and then in between you needing, of course, or have to get something to eat, you're not sitting down and actually feeling compelled to spend a lot of money on things. You'll get something, you'll, you know, continue to just, you know, snack on it per se. Another thing, too, is you got to have snacks during the day. I think a lot of times as Americans, what we end up doing is, you know, we just try to pile everything into three meals.
Yep.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No, you got to have breakfast. You got to have a snack probably about 10 o'clock, some grapes, some carrots, or something like that. Then have a meal. Then have another snack around about 2 o'clock. And then have dinner. And then at the end of the night, probably about 7 o'clock, have another snack. You know, and when I say snacks, I'm not talking about chips and fries and fatty foods. And so that's about actually get yourself something healthy. And by you positioning yourself like that with how you're balancing out your meals, that'll also count down, can take down on how much you spend. Another thing, too, I read this in Men's Health because I got that magazine. Drink 2 glasses of water, 8 ounce glasses of water, before you ever eat a meal. Because when you go in there to actually eat, you will be filled up. And you will not order as much as you would. And you think about it, most of the time, a lot of us, we throw food away. Or we say, oh, I'll bring it back, you know, and I'll get to it later. And then 9 times out of 10, it's either cold, you don't really want it, or you end up just throwing it away later. But you spent that money up front. Two glasses of water before every meal. Just try it.
Wow. I gotta tell you about that water. I don't. What if you're addicted to water? Like, that's all you drink.
But if that's all you drink, I'm telling you, if you have two before you sit down to eat, you will definitely probably say, you know what, if you do go out to buy something, I don't need to get this Gorgonzola burger over here with the fries and whatever. I'm going to just get this egg salad sandwich and do something a little bit basic. Or I'm going to just get the salad because you'll be a little filled up. And I'm telling you, that right there, even if you're not able to work out, before every meal, 2 glasses of water. And I'm not talking about you about to sit and eat and you just buck 2 glasses really fast. I'm talking about, you know, you won't eat at noon. So at 11:45, get 1 glass in you, and by 11:55, you're drinking a second glass. And then by the time you get ready to go out with the group, you're going to be filled up a little bit off some water. And you're not going to order as much as you would if you just went out there. Because a lot of times, you know how it is, appetite is working more than, you know, your eyes are working more so than your appetite. So you get out there, and you're like, yeah, man, wow, that Gorgonzola burger sounds really good. I'm going to go and get that. Yeah, $12.95, but I'm going to get that.
Yeah, but do you know, you're talking about taking a run. Man, these jokers on here, you know how many Wendy's and McDonald's they have to run past? You know, they'll be like, well, let me just stop in here and get this, you know, or the Subway. You know, you're very disciplined, you know. So that's a bit much. I go back to what BJ was saying is that I don't eat out much. You know, the only time I eat out is if I'm on the road. And the mileage I get, you know, I make sure. You know, I get more than enough to pay for my $10 lunch, but, you know, that's pretty much the only time I eat out, or if the, you know, that's that time of the week, you know, where the groceries are a little low, I might grab something. But on a regular day, I take a loaf of bread and some cold-cut turkey and maybe some cheese and some water, you know, and a little snack or something, you know. So, I mean, I'm probably breaking, you know, maybe $8-$10 a week, you know, on lunch, you know, that way. So, but like the brother said, I mean, you start doing that, you know, it's you'll see the difference. And, you know,
yep,
you'll be like, man, I got an extra $100 this month or whatever. You add up how much you're spending during the week, you'll change.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Oh, yeah, you will.
The name of the game is money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it all boils down to, regardless of, you know, what your attitude is or what your mentality, what you're used to. If that money ain't there, you ain't going to be able to do it. And some people don't see it that way, and they would almost do any and everything to try to restore the feeling.
Hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know a person right now who got charged with robbing a bank.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm dead serious. This happened last year. Got charged, him and his dumb cousin. He lost his job. Almost about to lose his house. You know, because he didn't spend his money wisely. And he had one of them nagging women. You know, you need to get out of here. Da, 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 da. He got busted robbing the bank.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. sir. Yes, sir.
The matter of fact, it was my bank on Bessemer Avenue in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Well, it gets tough. It gets tough out there. But I want to, fellas, I got breaking news. I got breaking news. I got to go out here. I got to put this advertisement out here. It's 9:45. And I got to put an advertisement while I got folks on the call. The head of household group has done it. We're very proud. Tone has done a great job going on our third year. As of today, you can go to Amazon.com and you can get the book, Married Men Don't Talk. All right? That is just a quick advertisement. It's on Amazon. Go check it out. Go check it out. Now, keep it going. Keep it going. Here's a scenario I want people to talk about. Here's a scenario. Your company has reduced your salary 10% this year, and you're looking for ways to cut your budget, your family expenses, but your spouse is sick. Now, your spouse insists that you're exaggerating the financial difficulties. She doesn't think that y'all are in financial difficulties, that she can, you know, still do what she does and resist the temptation to ratchet back y'all lifestyle. She wants y'all to keep the same lifestyle. Every conversation about money turns into a battle. I don't know if that has happened in anybody's household, but what is the most likely result in the last solution for this tension? Here's the scenario. Let your spouse pick one splurge each month and enjoy it. You just give her one thing that she can go and do, spend money, spend shoes. Two, B would be together. Take a look at the numbers in your investment and your check account and then decide on what to do. Or split up your finances. You have your bank account. I have my bank account. We have the we pay our bills, and then you do what you want with your money.
None of the above.
None of the above?
Nope, because
none of the above.
Yeah, you have to. Number one, you said that she's not believing that you know, y'all need to cut back or whatever the case may be. And if you haven't written it down for her, she's, you know, from her vantage point, from her perspective, if she doesn't know anything about the inflow and the outflow, you know, from her vantage point, she's right. So, I mean, first and foremost, you have to write down, you know, and literally sit her down and say, look, honey, this is what we had coming in with the 10% pay cut. This is what we have coming in right now, and this is our outflow. So, you know, with that, you know, if that doesn't line up, and most of the time women understand stuff that's written down better, you know, than, you know, you're just telling them because they're not into numbers floating around in their head like we men are. So, you know, first and foremost, you got to write it down, and then, you know, she has to be realistic to say, oh, now I see why I can't go shoe shopping every Friday or whatever it is she does, or go to the dinner with her girlfriends or whatever it is she does on a regular basis. She may not can do anymore. And, I mean, you just got to make it plain. And, you know, the one thing I always, and I learned was to write it down. And that way everybody's on the same page. It's not, you know, it's clear and to the point. This is what we got coming in. This is what we got going out. And, you know, you got to plug the hole, you know, if there are any.
Yeah, but now, I mean, let's just be honest. A lot of us are women. Look over the finances. And some of us is that we, as men, the head of household, look over the finances. Why is there such a difference in the way, you know, a woman does the finances and a man does the finances? Or is there a difference? Is there just one that's better than the others?
I mean, I don't know. I'll just speak for myself. My wife doesn't know anything what's going on. She couldn't tell you what the mortgage payment is, the van payment, the light bill, or anything. She just comes home, hits the garage door, comes inside, turns the light on, the water's running. And as long as that's, you know, everything is working and in good working order and the water, the heat is running, she's fine. You know, and that works for me. And, you know, so, but I do have to provide her a report, you know, a monthly report about where we're at, because a lot of times I'm like, honey, you can't do that or we can't do that. And she's like, why not? And I'm like, because that garage door you hit, the electric that you hit when you come in, the water, like, we have to pay for all that. So, you know, we might have some left over, you know, to do what you're talking about doing, or we might not, you know, but those are priorities. But, again, what worked for me is that she, it had to be written down for her to understand, you know, what our financial picture was, you know, and for years I never wrote it down. I would just sit her down and we would have a nice conversation, but she never really got it, you know, until I start putting it in an Excel spreadsheet and lining it up, assets, liabilities, you know, it is what it is, and she understands numbers better than me talking about, well, I got this coming out next month, we got to pay for that next month, you know, I got to pay for the daycare bill, you know, all that kind of stuff. She just, you know, you got to put it on paper, you know. So, I mean, to your question, that's what works for me, and she has no desire, absolutely no desire to run the household finances, and I like it that way, you know, that works for me.
Yeah, and I have to follow up. You know, I still do the finances in our household. But one thing I did not do, and I need to start doing going into next year, is documenting it better that she understands it. Because the way I document it, she gets confused.
Right.
And I document it the way...
makes sense to you.
It makes sense to me in an accounting format and money goes here, it's credited over here, debited over here, and that confuses her because my wife does the same thing. She comes home, and she just opens the door and comes in and comes to light. The light's on, everything's on. She thinks everything's cool. But then lately, I don't know if everybody was here to hear my story, is that, you know, I haven't had a raise in 3 years. She's just starting to go back to work. She's been out of work for over a year plus and a half. And so I had to readjust the things. And I told her how I readjusted, but like you said, I told it to her. I never just, like, wrote it down and showed it to her. Because the first time I did it, she didn't get it. And I got frustrated trying to explain to her what she didn't understand. Which, in my mind, I was thinking that you should understand this. But
and how much did you, you know, during that time when she was out of work, how much did you cut your spending, your outflow, or did you during that time?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, because at the time, my money was enough to take care of the bills, and her money was going into savings.
Okay, gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? It was like I took care of the bills. And the money came in that she was doing may have gone to, like, the kids' daycare morning and after school and to the groceries. And that's about it. Everything else was taken care of out of my check. But then that went on. And then we had, a great savings account. But once we left, all those bills that, you know, the things I just said, that the kids daycare and monthly groceries and whatever little small expenses she paid, that started coming out of the savings account. And then after a year and a half, that money...
savings was gone.
Savings is gone.
Well, you should have had a secret stash.
So we end up getting more arguments now.
You should have had a secret stash.
Yeah. And I was the thing is now, you know, we were getting in arguments now because it came to the point where we were living, I'm going to just be honest with you, almost check to check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because before you were living like the 1%.
Yeah, we were okay. Everything was beautiful. bills paid on time. There was no cutting, no half here, paying half this, paid later, setting up. Everything was coming out of bank account. Everything was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that made frustration, I guess. When we got to talking about bills, it ended up always turning into an argument, and I wanted to see if it happened to anybody else, where it got to the point where now you're in a financial hardship, and when you start talking about bills, it just automatically turns into a disagreement, a battle. Does that happen to anybody on the phone?
Yes, I'm on the phone now, and it happens to us all the time. So there you go.
Can you kind of explain how y'all get through it, or have y'all gotten through it where it doesn't happen anymore?
No, we agree to get some gloves, and we're going to box this out. I'm listening to y'all. I got on the call kind of late here, but I wanted to ask, well, to answer your question, like, we're still working through that as far as, you know, we can't even have a healthy conversation about the bills because I have a different approach to how they should be handled than she does. So, and she's right. She's the primary breadwinner in our house, and she's the one that does all the bills. But I don't like the way, I think some changes, it could be fine-tuned on how she does it. Because she doesn't like the fact that I want to be involved as far as I know all the bills that's going on, but she makes sure they're paid. But she pays the minimum. I don't like that. I would pay more so that I wouldn't owe, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not living check to check with that. But she doesn't like that. She doesn't want to relinquish that responsibility to me. You know what I mean? Because she knows if I have it, then there's going to be less money, you know, within her own account. You know what I mean? So that's what we go through, you know.
But you said something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said, and I don't know if the group got it or not, but it was really quite relevant. You said that your approach is different from hers.
Yeah.
And there
it shouldn't be different. Is that what you're going to say?
No. It should be because there are no two people on the planet that think the same way about money. I don't care if it's twins, two brothers, two sisters, mama, daddy, mom and son. It does not matter. And the whole thing about it is that you're going to have different approaches. Like you said that you wouldn't pay the minimum. You would pay a little bit more down on some of your debts and maybe
right.
not go shopping, maybe not go to Red Lobster, maybe not get your nails or hair done, whatever it is she does.
I'm definitely not getting my nails or hair done.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, the reality is that no two people, you know, think the same about money, but you have to get on the same page, and it has to be compromised. And I'll tell you a little bit about me. As I said before, you know, from day one, I've always handled the money. And I've been married 12 years. For the first 7 years, we didn't have a budget. You know, thankfully, you know, we made enough where didn't have to get any cutoff notices or, you know, no, I paid everything on time, you know, and I did, you know, definitely pay down my debts and everything. And, you know, I was adamant about that because I personally don't like debt, you know, and so I try to pay off my debts, whether it be car, credit card, student loan, whatever it was, I tried to, you know, pay that down. And she was the same way, but maybe not as aggressive as me. But,
right.
You know, but the whole time, the first 7 years, she was like, why are we on a budget? And I was like, I got this. You see me paying the student loan off? You see me paying the credit card bill down? Don't be hollering. Don't be talking to me. I don't need no budget. You know, so, but for 7 years, we didn't have a budget. And then finally, I came to the realization that I had a lot of holes. You know, I would, you know, spend, I would go buy music, I'd go buy this and that. You know, and then I'm like, man, we're just overspending here. And I would still make sure I paid off my debts and everything, but it was some gaps. So I had to compromise and say, you're actually right. We do need a budget because there is a lot of overspending going on. And
that's our problem today. You know, we still make a good amount of money, and you know, nothing's cut off, and we have very little debt. You know, I haven't carried a balance on my credit card since like the year 2000. You know, so I mean, it's been a while, so I don't care. I just use it and pay it off. You know, thank God. But you know, the fact of the matter is that we're still overspending. You know, so we're on a budget, but we need to do better on sticking to the budget. You know, because still, you know, things come up. Like literally, I tell you, like this Saturday, we were out shopping. We were doing some Christmas shopping, and we had, you know, I got savings, and just literally 2011, fellas, was the first year I had anything in savings. Because I was so adamant about paying off my debts. I had a dollar in my savings account. Now I got 401ks, I got 529 plans, I got all that stuff. But as far as liquid savings, it was $1, period. But, you know, so this year things have changed, and try to stay close on budget. And, you know, thank God we got a nice little savings account. So we just, you know, our Christmas comes up, and that's outside of the normal expenditure. So we just pull the money out for you know, for Christmas gifts, you know, right out of the savings. It's not taken out of the regular monthly budget. But anyway, long story short is that I got an email while I'm out Christmas shopping. And we were Christmas shopping for my four-year-old daughter and, you know, got her taken care of. I probably spent about $200 on her and was done. And I got an email, and my daughter, my oldest daughter, is in ballet. So get an email, and she needs all of these supplies, makeup supplies for her recital. She's got a recital Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend. So, you know, the wife's like, we need to go get this makeup and stuff. And, you know, she told me, she was like, you know, makeup is expensive. I was like, yeah, okay, you know, all right. And I don't usually, you know, my wife is, she doesn't wear a lot of makeup. And so, I mean, makeup, I don't have a huge makeup budget or anything like that. You know, she does her own hair. She don't get manicures and pedicures. You know, my wife is simple, you know. So anyway, we go into the CVS, and fellas, I spent $103.21 on makeup for an eight-year-old for a recital for 3 days.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
You
like.
Said you only spent $200 on Christmas for your daughter, and I'm going to tell you, my wife went out, and we went to American Doll. Or American
not there.
for a 5-year-old, and spent, and that was just one gift for her, was $187.
Woo!
Oh. Wow. Gift.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Boy, how old is she, 5?
Yes, sir.
And you could have got her a box.
I said, no. She's looking at the, she gets the, what you call it? The what's the books? Mail to the house.
Yeah.
But you know what? That brings up a good point.
That's the setup right there. Them books are the setup right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That brings up a good point.
Oh, hold on, Mr. Host.
Okay.
I've actually my 8-year-old does have an American Girl doll. We waited, you know, like I think Andrew was saying, 5 years old. I think personally is a little young for that type doll, because the dolls are $100 a piece. And so we waited, and we got her, we got my oldest daughter, the American Girl doll, at 7. She was 7 and a half last year. But, you know, this year, you know, we got her another American Girl doll, you know, and, but that was pretty much, we probably spent about $200 on them each, and that's pretty much it, you know, because the American Girl doll and a few things with that, that's your $200 right there. And I got her some books, you know, so that's pretty much it. But, you know, with Christmas, we don't go above and beyond for Chris. Just like, you know, y'all got enough stuff, and grandma, their grandparents spoil them, so I don't be going all out like that.
I'll tell you, I get to be the grandparent and spoil now.
Yeah.
And it's a lot different.
Yeah.
And I can go out to lunch every day, and I can do all that stuff, and I can still go to Aruba. But when I was in the place that y'all are talking about, I can relate, believe me. And if you don't stay on top of it, you'll never get to the point that you can do the other things.
That's right.
Let me make a correction, too, because I just thought about that. Is that supposed to be something my mother is supposed to be going half with her on.
But still, that's still a lot of money to me for a doll.
Yeah, $87 for a doll.
$187 because she.
Yeah, but you're having $90.
Yeah, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Oh no, I'd have a tough one to do that.
Yeah, and that was like I said, that was.
I'd be like, hey, you get this one, I'll paint it. I'll paint the name on it. American Girl doll. There it is, girl. It's a new style.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Peyton was saying something. You say something, Peyton?
Yeah, I was just trying to say, if y'all spend $200 on 5 and 7 year olds, what's it gonna be when they 10 and 11? It's gonna be $700. You gotta keep going up. The next thing is not gonna be the dolls. It's gonna be that I need $110 pair of jeans. I mean, what?
I can't handle that $187 doll.
Oh my!
Whether I can afford it or not, I can't handle it. That just won't work for me.
Rough. That's rough for something that's to play with. To play with.
Yeah, for a week.
It's the playoffs.
That's it. They gonna break it.
Playoffs.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Now, we love our kids so much that does a budget even matter when it comes to our kids?
Of course it does.
Yeah.
You think your kids,
because,
your parents,
I mean,
didn't love you? You just got to look at the deal. And I'm going to tell you, when my kids were little, I mean, we had a budget. And what we actually did, we would simply, buy one or two things and then go to the dollar store and get the little dollar gifts.
Mm. Right. But parents now are fighting over dolls that are $200-$300, you know, standing in line for the new Xbox for 4 or 5 hours.
That place is packed too, by the way.
I'm just saying the difference is in marriage now, where and we talked about this earlier for the ones that didn't get on the call, where in the past, just like Andrew just said, when we were growing up, you got a gift and maybe a couple of small little things, and you were satisfied. You know, where now we live in a world where I want my kid to have everything and all things that I didn't have. I didn't get to have when I was growing up. That's the parents' mentality now. You know.
Yep, and you getting everything that your parents didn't get growing up. Because your kid is wilding out, and they feel they can talk to you any old kind of way.
You know what? When I was a kid, my mother did get me everything that I wanted for Christmas.
She did?
Everything I ever wanted for Christmas, my mom used to go out and get. And that kind of ruined Christmas for me, to be quite honest, because as I got older, I seen how difficult that was for her. Like, she would go in such a hole and wouldn't get herself together until October, November. Then she finally got it together. Then it's, bam, it's Christmas again. And she's going out getting all these things, making sure that I got everything that I wanted. Now, granted, it was some elaborate stuff like a robot or something like that that I saw that I wouldn't get. But, like, game systems or whatever, she made sure. And she was a single mom, made sure that I got it. But I just, when I was about, I want to say 13, 14, I didn't like Christmas anymore. I was like, nah, I don't want anything. Mom, please don't buy me anything at all. Because by then I had brothers and sisters, and she would still go out and spend a bunch of money. That just really turned me off.
So you didn't want her, going in the hole just to make you happy?
No. Because it wouldn't end with just me. It would be with my grandparents, her brothers and sisters. She would just make sure. Like, even still to this day, she'll have, like, a trunk full of gifts. She'll spend, like, over $1,000 easy on this one day. I mean, she enjoys it, but I'm like, don't buy me not one single thing, because that's one less person you got to deal with.
Yeah, and there was actually, I don't know if y'all saw it or not, but there was actually, and just getting back on topic here with the, you know, the economy and marriage, is that some people are postponing Christmas because of the economy. And, you know, what they're telling their kids is that, you know, that Santa leave them a note or whatever and say he couldn't get by last night or whatever. And they're just doing it, you know, maybe they'll get a check at the end of the month or at the 1st of January, and then on top of the discounts that the retailers are offering after Christmas, you know, because like the brother said, I mean, you got to, you know, Christmas is the day, you know, and if you get it on December 26th or December 27th, it's really not the same, you know, what some people think, especially to the child. So, you know, people are strategizing and say, we're not doing Christmas on the 25th. We're doing Christmas on January 2nd. You know, and that's literally because of the economy. Now, you know, people have changed their strategies.
Yep. I mean, the economy and the sales. Look, I went out today because we needed to get some blinds. So I was looking at it, and I was reading and flipping through the the sales guide or brochure or something that they had. We were at JCPenney's. And do you know that if you go the day after Christmas, the blinds are 65% off and an additional 15% off if you buy something between now and then, anything from JCPenney's. You go in there and buy a pair of socks. And if you buy a pair of socks, they give you this little questionnaire that you fill out. You get an additional 15% off. So you take that 65 and you add on that 15.
Mm-hmm.
Start to do the math on. You think I bought blinds today? I sure didn't.
Yeah, and if you wait, I mean, because the retailers are smart too. There's a lot of people are off. I know I'm always off the week in between Christmas and New Year's. And, you know, you go out and about and, you know, you got time and say, let's go to the mall, let's go window shop, and then you end up getting some blinds or something. But, you know, if you really wait, you know, until the first of the year rolls around, they probably be handing out blinds on the street. You
ridiculous.
Know, like,
you, look, hey, and I had prepared, budgeted to go, and I was going to get these blinds and all this stuff. But when I got in there and I saw that, I was like, look, I can wait 2 weeks.
Exactly.
But here,
you know,
here's
if I'm going to save that amount of money, I can wait 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I can believe it. But here's the thing. It goes back to the Joneses. We had a topic called, you know, trying to hang with the Joneses. Is that people use Christmas time to say, look at what I did for my child. And they overdo it.
Yeah, it was like those crazy birthday parties.
Yep.
And next thing you know, you spent a lot of money for no reason at all to show other people that you got money. But 2 weeks later, your kid doesn't even play with that stuff.
So,
yeah.
At the end of the day, the stuff doesn't matter.
Stuff doesn't matter.
I mean, how much stuff do you actually have from when you were a kid?
Right.
None of it.
Yeah, and now you have arguments because here it is January 1, and you're like, how are we going to pay this mortgage? Well, we can't pay it on the 1st. We maybe can pay it on the 15th. Because you don't use your budgeted money that's supposed to be for your house for Christmas.
But why would anybody do that, though? And that's the thing that I don't understand that. Why would you use your bill money for Christmas?
You know, I think it's like this. Especially when you're really struggling, it's like, well, you know what? You know, I could at least do something. And some people just, you know, they struggle all year and can't do anything, and they just, you know, I'm going to do something. You know, I'm broke. I'm going to be broke, so I might as well do something.
Yep, and along that line, I think along that lines, a lot of times people think that, you know what, I'm going to reward myself. I'm going to treat myself because
mm-hmm.
I deserve it. Now, who cares if I got to use candles for the next 2 months?
Hmm.
But I'm going to treat myself to this 42-inch plasma that has now come down to $379.
Where is that?
Walmart.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, Peyton, I mean, that was me. You know, I would go all year and I would buy, you know, things that my kids, my wife needed, you know, throughout the year, and we would still do Christmas, but that's the time, like, literally, I would be like, yeah, I need to spend about a G on myself because I've been holding it for 11 months. You know, I need this, I need that. And, I mean, but that's how I felt, that I deserve it. You know, I've been sacrificing for you, Crumb Snatchers, and, you know, for you, you know, honey, I wanted you to have this or that or whatever it was, or the kids needed this or that. And then I would go hog wild on Christmas because I'm like, I work. You know, I haven't bought anything or much of anything of any significance for myself, and it caused major problems. Because the wife was like, you can't do that. Why don't you just get the stuff you need during the year like you do for us? I'm like, well, you know, and she was like, we can't do that. Because I end up spending
I'm glad
you know.
You said that, Rodney, because I was talking to my daughter. She's 20 years old, and she has a job, and she's really trying to save money, trying to get go to school and all kind of stuff like that. And I said to her, I said, sweetie, I said, you have to take a little bit of money, you know, and every now and then buy yourself something. You have to reward yourself, because if all you do is work and put the money away, work and pay the bill, you start to feel like, what the heck am I doing this for? And then you're going to end up just splurging and blowing it.
Right.
You've got to have a situation where you do something for yourself. I don't care if it's a $10 shirt, but you got to feel like, you know, your brain has to feel like there's got to be a reward in this for me.
Yeah.
Well, how often does that reward come?
Doesn't matter. You can say, you know what? You know, once every 3 months, I'm going to buy myself something, okay? And I'm going to take $10 a pay period, and it's going to be something for me. And your brain, it doesn't care. It doesn't matter how big it is. Your brain says, I'm working for something.
Yep. Or going back to the lunch, just one day a week. Say,
yeah,
you know what? I'm going to do
one
day a week.
You're
going to
do it. Okay, you're going to spend it because you just can't continue to work and not reward yourself. Okay, because after a while you get pissed off and you'll resent the family.
Well, that's where we are. But the thing is, like you say, to work and reward yourself. I get that, but the problem comes where you're still rewarding yourself pretty regularly, but you're not recognizing it as a reward. You're recognizing it as a need. My wife gets her hair done every 2 weeks, but that costs anywhere between $40 to $70.
Count yourself blessed. Mine gets it every Wednesday.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, but at the same time, you're in a different place. You said, like, you know, we have three small kids.
Yeah, he's a grandfather.
So, you know, you're not you. We just got finished paying for daycare, and we're just like, we're finally. Like, you know, seeing some, like, light at the end of the tunnel that we could finally have some money in our pocket. Like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? We don't have to pay for this each month or whatever. But, you know, my wife resents me at the fact that because I always put, you know, I pulled the reins back on trying to spend money. Like I said many, many weeks ago about the TV, she went out and tried to go get this $3,000 TV. And I said, no, we can't get that. And I made her take it back. And she didn't speak to me for about, like, I want to say almost two months, a month and a half, easy. She was
Are you kidding me?
No, they do. I mean, our conversations were very brief. You know,
women be like, shopping. Women be shopping.
But yeah, it was crazy.
Yo, I'm gonna tell you what, and I hope you receive this right. That's a deeper issue than what you just talked about.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
It might be.
Okay. That's not the finances, buddy. That's a deeper issue there.
Oh.
She doesn't know how to resolve conflict.
Oh. I was going somewhere else. I was about to say, what's his name? I'm
not saying that.
Joe, because this piece or something, I got to get him.
Because her way to resolve conflict is to lash out in a way of shutting down, and that's a whole different issue and a whole different phone call.
Yeah. Yeah, because a month and a half, 2 months, that's, I don't think anybody's ever been that long. I mean, I've been like 7-10 days, you know, stuff like that, but a month and a half just to, you know, you're going to pick up the kids today, what's for dinner tonight? I mean, just to, wow. I mean, that's.
And even at the end of the 7 to 10 days, where did it get you but wasting 7 to 10 days of your relationship?
Yeah.
To prove to her that you're pissed off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but she says to me all the time that I ruin shopping for her. Now, I was listening to you guys talking about eating and everything. Like, I'm a eater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's where I would spend my money at, is towards food, and she says it to me all the time. Whereas though, she actually go out and buy things. But she says, I ruin shopping for her because she can't just go and spend money, go get what she wants or whatever. And she doesn't even really come from that background like that. Like, that they always had a whole bunch of, like, name brand items or whatever. But
that's probably why.
You know what I mean? But now it's just like, she feels like, oh, I work, I make so much money. Like, how come I can't do this? Because we have this. You know what I mean? Like, I tell her, like, if you have over $1,000 extra just laying around, then something ain't, is not being paid. You need to go back and find out what's
so,
not being paid. And
you
make
guys
sure
have to
paid.
Have an agreement that over a certain amount, both of you have to be okay with it.
Thank you. And my rule is the $25 rule. Listen, all it is really, it's not that you can't buy anything over $25. Like Andrew said, it's a courtesy call.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hey, I'm about to buy a $3,000 TV. And that's when the conversation is had. It's like, no.
There would be no way I would ever spend that kind of money without, you know, I shouldn't say that, if it wasn't in my business. I'm talking about personal.
Right.
That I would never spend that kind of money, you know, and not, you know, be okay. The other thing that we have to be in agreement is on, you know, our gifts to people or to charities or what. If either of us are not okay with it, it doesn't happen. I don't care if it's $25. Now, both of you have to have money that neither of you are responsible to each other for. And what I mean is that's your money, and you know, whatever you want to do with it, if you want to light it on fire, it's okay. Mm. Because you have to feel like a man, you have to feel like a woman. Okay, if you got to go every time and say, honey, can I buy this, you don't feel like a man.
Right.
So you have to have money that, like I said, if you wanted to light it on fire, you could light it on fire. Same thing with her. But there's got to be an amount that both of you say, okay, honey, if we're going to spend over $100 or $500 or, hey, $5,000, whatever the number y'all agree on, there has to be a number that you guys say, we will not spend this amount of money without both of us being in agreement on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if not, you're going to, it's going to cause problems.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, it's funny that, I mean, even when you say that, like, about, you know, coming to an agreement on what you're going to spend, I went and I said, listen, I want to buy something for you, but I thought it was somewhat of a big-ticket item. It was going to cost about $500-$600. And she said,
You bought a tablet.
I already bought it. But,
yeah, me too.
She said, why did you tell me that you wanted to buy me this? Why didn't you just get it and surprise me? I said, well, because I've made you take the TV back, and I didn't want to just go against, like, you know, say whatever I wanted to get was okay, and what you wanted to get was, like, I can just veto and say no. I said, so I wanted to get your, you know, consent with what I was going to purchase. And she was like, yeah, well, she could have done. She got mad at me again that I ruined her surprise and told her.
The way that we handle that, we set a budget for each other, what we're going to spend on Christmas for each other. This is how much we're going to spend. Now, my wife is always upset because I always go over. But we always say, okay, we're going to spend this much. And then you don't have to do it. Well, you know what? Can I spend this?
But I think in his situation is interesting because my situation is actually very similar because we have one laptop in the house. That's it. And
don't have any other computers?
No.
Wow.
This is it. Yeah, so, I mean, like, Tuesdays, you can't use the computer. I mean, she's got a BlackBerry that she can use if she needs to do anything. But, you know, anything that she needs to do, she knows that on Tuesdays, like, you're short, you know, because I'm using a computer to do this little show or whatever. But, so, you know, in that case, and see, there's similarities and it's also differences because I handle the money and, you know, and I'm buying something from her, so the $25 in that instance, you know, I think goes out of the window. And, you know, when I give her, and I bought a tablet too, we could talk all
about it.
I got an Asus Transformer Prime. Yeah, it runs circles around the iPad, but we'll get to that later. But, yeah, so I mean.
I never even heard of it.
Yeah, it just came out like the first
day at the Best Buy.
Yeah, it just came out. Just came out. It's slick, but anyway. So I mean, in that instance, it, like the brother said, it's $500-$600 piece of equipment. It's not, you know, something that's $25 or whatever. But because I handled the money, see, it would have been a different if she handled all the coin and I had to be like, well, I want to buy you a Christmas gift, and she would have seen the credit card, the line item that I spent X amount of dollars, and it would have been, you know, so it would have been different, you know, in my case, because like she has no idea that, you know, what I got. You know, she was actually asking me the other day, you know, I hope you get me a Christmas gift. I'm like, yeah, I know what you want. You don't know what I want. I was like, okay, all right, you know, but anyway, it was I didn't have to go to her and say, well, you know, I want to get you something nice for Christmas, and it's like $600, and you know, that kind of deal. So, but I feel where you're coming, bro, because I mean, she handles. So I mean, she'll literally see how much you spend on her, and you know, it's a bit complicated, you know. But in my
I could give you any advice, my friend. Get to the bottom of the real issue with that TV, because it's much more than what the surface appears.
But we don't want to bought a different TV already.
Yeah, but the TV wasn't the issue, and there's something else deeper in there for her to be holding. There's some kind of resentment or hurt. Something is going on, I'm just telling you. For her to shut down for 2 months, something's going on.
And, you know, I think what the brother's saying is that I just think that her love tank is empty. You know, as I always say. Right, Andrew? Right.
Hey, but, something's going on, man. It ain't cool.
Yeah, and I wouldn't lose
symptom. That's not the problem. That's a symptom.
Yeah, and for a dust-up, you know, or any dust-up, you know, big or small, and then to go for the long non-talking, you know, no talking to each other other than required talking about the kids or bills or whatever the case may be, that is a deeper issue, because I've done, you know, been there.
You ain't getting no nookie for 2 months either?
No. I just said the conversation is short. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I'm just conversation short. Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, but even still, I'm gonna be honest. Like that wasn't the same. You know what I mean? Like
right.
It was just
not,
like
okay. It was okay. This is my obligation.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's some deeper issues. Just mark my words, bro.
Mm. Okay, I got a question. So those budget keeping people on the phone, the ones that have the budgets. so if wifey walked in on a regular weekday with a bag from Nordstrom's,
happens every week in my house.
I mean, it's like, yo, what's in the bag? How much did you spend? Let me see the receipt. Is it, you know, I mean, what is that like? Is it like, yo, why did you go there? You could have went to TJ Maxx. I mean, what is it like? Just, you know,
I'll say for me, since I'm one of the budget keeping people that you're referring to,
yeah,
could have just used my name. I mean,
no, because you're not the only one.
I'm just messing with you, but, you know. Speaking for me and only me, my wife despises shopping.
Hmm. So, isn't that a good thing, Rodney?
It's a great thing. Yeah, I mean, I have
my
to drag
ass
her.
Loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I have to drag her if she needs something. It's like, you know, it's
Rodney,
rare.
I think it's a Newport News thing because mine's the same way.
Yeah, so I mean, so Tony, to answer your question, my wife would never come home with a bag full of Nordstrom. She might come home with a bag full of JCPenney of some new boots or some new khakis that she needed, you know, not that, oh, you know, it was on sale. Or she would never even go to the mall unless it was a purpose. You know, that's just not her personality. She just doesn't say, oh, you know, I'm going to, before I head home and start dinner, I'm going to just slide on by Nordstrom. No, that'll never happen. You know, that's just not her.
Nordstrom
sells mine was about a warning. She'll at least say, hey, you know, you told me we had such and such. Are we still good? Because I want, you know, I got to go either get the kids something or, you know, I want to get this, and it's going to cost about this much money.
Yeah.
You know what? And again, I love that communication. I love that teamwork. It sounds great. It really does. But at the end of the day, are we dictating? And, you know, I ask this question all the time. Are we dictating their spending habits? Are we dictating what they can buy? I mean, do they really need permission to go out and get something nice for themselves?
In the economy that we're in now, I would say yes.
So you're saying your gainfully employed wife has to ask permission to go buy a pair of boots?
I would say yes, because things is tight. We're playing catch up. Now, we were like we were 3 years ago, you know, 2 years ago, where the, you know, savings account's lovely, bank account's lovely, she bringing in her money, everything's good. It wouldn't be a problem. But we're at a point now where we're talking about the economy. The economy's low. Stocks ain't looking good, so there ain't no extra money. We're living paycheck to paycheck. We're trying to start savings again. Yes, I mean, we have to do something that we're not used to doing, and that is communicating better and saying, hey, I want to get this, and saying no.
Okay.
You're not a good time.
Okay. So you're saying that the situation dictates your spending habits at this point?
I wouldn't even say that. I would say that you could get pink slip tomorrow. And those
right.
boots or that bag full of Nordstrom, you get that pink slip, you might. Did you keep the tags on that stuff?
Well, no.
I mean,
Nordstrom,
literally.
Nordstrom, you don't have to. They'll take anything back.
They'll take
anything. Yeah, tires or anything. But,
anything.
You know, I mean, I would put it, you know, your question in that context is where you don't know what tomorrow brings.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's living scared. That's living scared, though. You can't live scared.
No, I'm not saying living scared. I'm just saying living prudent. And, you know, you don't know what the economy is fragile. And the economy, the way it is, you don't know if one of y'all can get a pink slip tomorrow. So, you know, like the host said.
But you're right. Yeah, but, Rodney, you're right. But that could be any day. That could be 2 years ago. That could be 3 years from now. That could be any day.
I think the situation definitely dictates it. You know,
yeah.
P-Town talking about his catch-up time.
Sure.
You know, and we've all been in that situation. Well, maybe not all of us, but I've been in that situation where those kind of things are going on. And you know, you go through different, you know, stages in your life. And, you know, when you're going through those stages, you're not eating out every day.
Yeah.
If you are, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
you know, you got to be smart, and you got to look at things, you know, and you know what? Sometimes you got to tighten up the belt.
And, like, and you look at what P-Town said earlier, his wife was out of work, and he didn't cut his spending. I mean, that's what you said, right?
He's a man.
Right, I did.
That's because he's a man.
I didn't cut my spending because I thought we would still be okay. But the one thing I wanted to talk about that we haven't gotten into is them unforeseen things that happen with your
right.
Like we had a tornado. I had to get a brand new roof. You know, I had to get my car fixed. That was money out the window that you don't plan for.
Mm-hmm.
My bathtub right now, I got a shower that's leaking. I got to buy a brand new bathroom almost, you know. Some pipes. I know that's going to cost me. That's not uncovered under warranty. That's going to cost me tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
And my dishwasher. I got a man coming in the morning to fix that. That's not covered under warranty. Got to get a new motor. You know, these things, you know, we talked about giving our stuff, you know, paying for ourselves and getting ourselves something so we won't drive ourselves crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my thing is soup. Every time a 3-for-1 come on, I'm out there. I'll get me a couple of soups. I'm happy. And now I have so many soups on the rack at the Christmas dinner, I wake up the next morning this weekend and my rack falls. Clothes on the rack. So it's like it's always a something. I
got
to go out here. I got a son who broke his bed. He did a swan dive. You always got to put money to the side for your kids, because if you got a boy, and I usually don't have to do it with girls, you're going to have to put some money, like my dad says, you know, you stayed in the hospital, in the emergency room. They knew you by name,
because
I'm always
girl.
Doing something crazy. My son the same way, but he just did a swan dive on his bed and broke his whole bed. I had to fix that. Those
I did that when I was a kid.
Yeah. So those unforeseen things that happen. Somebody need emergency surgery. You know, your wife or yourself. Or a car accident. Or, you know, you got a root canal. You got to pay 20%. Your insurance pay 80%. You got to pay that 20%. So you got to come up with $400 or something like that.
You know, I was always told, you know, you need to have 3 months worth of your expenses in a savings account. I mean, liquid money you can get to. And it's amazing how few people actually have that today.
You got to have more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talked about that earlier. I mean, I told them my story where we had the 3 and 6 months, and we were living comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But when my wife lost her job for a year and a half.
Yeah, it's tight. Well, you know, it's very difficult
to
plan for a wage earner for a year and a half to be out of income. I mean, that's almost an impossibility to plan for. That's an aberration. You know, most people are not going to be able, especially raising a family, to save enough money that a year and a half isn't going to affect them.
Yeah, but I want to get back to Tony's question about the Nordstrom bag. Like, Tony, what is the frequency of the Nordstrom bag? Are you talking once a week, once a month, once a quarter? I mean,
I wouldn't even say once a week, even if it was once a month. Even if it was once a month she went out and did something, or maybe once every 3 months. I'm just saying she walks in at one particular time with a Nordstrom bag, is she going to get the third degree?
Not if it's infrequent. I mean,
it's over $25 unless you buy it. She don't broke the $25 rule.
Yeah, unless you're just buying the bag.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that as long as I don't think it's anything wrong with it. You know, and my wife just needed, you know, some stuff, and I said, go ahead, you know.
Well, she got to call you.
No, but
right?
I mean, she had to check with me, absolutely. And the thing is that it's so informal. It used to be very like, I used to be like a dictator. I'm not going to lie. I used to be like, nope, can't do that. You know, but I would go out.
What if you fill up your car, man, with gas?
Huh?
What if you fill up your car with gas? That's more than $25.
Oh, no, that don't count. That don't count.
Oh, that doesn't count? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a requirement. But, I mean, and then those instances, you know, I was a dictator, but now I'm a little more liberal.
And is that because you got a few extra dollars in the bank?
No, it's because it was affecting my marriage.
Yeah.
It was just not, and here's the thing.
Now, why did you pick $25? I mean, you can't do anything for $25.
You cannot. She can't even
hang out
with
her girlfriend
and spend $25.
But that's more than $25.
Yeah, the $25 rule came about 12 years ago.
No.
I mean,
and there's no inflation on that $25.
There was no inflation on it. But I mean, again, fellas, listen, it's so informal now that I'm like, whatever. You want to go to Nordstrom? Go ahead. I mean, it's not easy.
So you mean like if I came into BB&T and said, Andrew, let's go to lunch, you'd have to say, honey, can I take Andrew to lunch?
No. Because we could go to like Arby's or something.
I ain't going to Arby's.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, he ain't going there. I'm going to tell you right there, he ain't going to the Arby's. Okay, so if she's hanging out with her girlfriend, a sister, a aunt, her mom, and her mom says, come on, let's go into the mall and let's go, you know, and spend a, you know, ladies' day and go get pampered. Massage, whatever, nails, just a pampered day. Does she have to call you and say, you know what, I'm going to hang out with whoever I'm at and, you know, this pampering may get a little pricey?
Yes.
She just can't come home looking good?
Nope.
And you say, man, you look good. How was your day today?
Nope, I'm going to be hot.
Really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be hot.
Man, you got her on a short leash, don't you?
Because all she had to do was say, hey, you know, mom's here. We're going to go to the spa and get pampered. And my one word would be like, okay, holler at you when you get on. I mean, it wouldn't be nothing. But don't do it. You know, don't spend $300 at the spa and getting your nails and your hair done. Don't
do that. You didn't say $300, man.
No, it can add up.
$26.
I just, for me,
he was getting the extension tips painted.
But I mean, like, to your question, Tony.
To your question, Tony,
I would be upset if she spent $100, $200, whatever, you know, even though she was looking good and everything was fine and she was hanging out with mom, I would be upset if she didn't just clear it with me.
So I just got a problem
with the $25.
But hold on. Now, she goes to work every day, gets a paycheck, all of that good stuff.
Yep.
And so basically her money is not her money when she wants it. Her money is y'all's money.
Yes.
But that's the way it is.
The two become one.
But listen, I do understand that. But two become one to the point where she has to consult with you when she spends something out of her own paycheck.
$26.
Yeah, she don't. I mean, her paycheck come to me. I mean,
wow.
And the thing about it, Tony, is that don't get me. If she goes to lunch with one of her coworkers or whatever, and it's over, you know, maybe they go to Red Lobster and she spent over $25. I don't care. You know, I don't care. Now, before, I'd have been like, I would have told her, you ain't going to lunch. You know, before,
oh, you
but
would.
Now.
Whoa. You would have told her you ain't going to lunch?
Yeah.
How before, did that go over?
It did. That's what I'm telling you, Andrew. It did not go over well.
I'm telling you, man, because that was my wife.
That's why I'm on the other extreme where we do have the $25 still, you know, down there, but it's so relaxed now that she goes out to lunch with her friends or whatever. She don't call me, you know, and I don't even be, you know, she's like, yeah, we went to the steakhouse today or whatever for lunch. If she did that, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'd be like, all right.
Do you think that maybe when she goes out and spends a certain dollar amount in the back of her mind, she's thinking about you? Like, maybe I shouldn't.
Probably do.
Because I don't want to deal with Rodney.
No, because she and here's the thing, fellas, that she's more of a saver than I. I mean, I'm the spender. You know, the $25
rule. I'm the spender.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably.
Right. It's hard for me to get her spend money.
Yeah,
I'm the spender too.
Because my wife was a single mother and she had to do it all, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's on the clearance rack, and I'm like, that's me. I want that. Give me that. I'm out.
Yeah.
That's how I am. I'm like, you know, I can't say nothing. She want to buy it? Fine, whatever. Time to make the donuts.
Hey, Andrew.
This is the way I am.
Andrew, like this.
I'm like, okay, how much you need in a checking account?
Okay,
I'm not kidding you. I'm serious. The 15th of the month, okay? So tell me what you need in a checking account at the end of the month. Just let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I figure time to make the donuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
Yeah.
That's my responsibility.
Well, that brings up a good point. That again brings up a good point.
Is it time to make the donuts or time to count the donuts?
It's always
I need to know
always
what's
time
going
to count
on.
The donuts. Yeah.
My wife pays the bills.
Okay.
I'm not good at that. I'm real good at making the donuts, though. So I need to know how many donuts I got to make.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you.
Now, that comes a problem. That comes a problem when I think this is a good time to talk about it, about making the donuts. Does that mean you go out and get a second job?
If I had to.
Stay away from the family? Is that the man's responsibility? If you want
to
go out and buy all this stuff, you go get a second job. You tell the wife,
second job, second hustle. Whatever it takes to get your bills straight, man, you gotta do what you gotta do. If you gotta cut grass like you did when you was younger,
yeah.
what I'm saying? Or
I
wash the car too, or wake up early in the morning, go deliver some papers. Fine.
Yeah, see, if we have cut back and this and that to the point where we've cut it out and it's still not enough, I just feel it's my responsibility. I got to figure it out.
Yeah.
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 So that's the way I feel.
I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, her at Nordstrom's or getting the hair done every week. No. I'm talking about things are tight. We got to cut back. Like P-Town said, things are different now. You've been out of work a year and a half. Okay, we're going to cut back. There hits a point you can't cut back anymore. I mean, you know, you got to have the temperature above 58. You know what I mean? Kids in sweaters, they be like, "Daddy, can we pin it to 52?" No, you can only cut back so much.
But I think we have to clarify too when we're cutting back and getting second jobs is that,
yeah,
you know, second jobs again. I think we're all right to say that if we needed the second job to move the temperature up, absolutely, but we shouldn't get a second job, back to the host's question, just to maintain a certain lifestyle and take us away from the family. You know, that's an error.
You and I agree on that wholeheartedly, right?
Yeah. And you know what? We might have to move to a smaller house.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, do we really need 4,500 square feet?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. You know, can 1,500 square feet do it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, but you do hit a point. And I've been there, that you can't cut back anymore.
But here's the problem with the economy. Now, staying with the topic, where you said, do we need that 4,500 square foot? Well, that 4,500 square foot house has now is under.
Yeah.
So you
and
can't
you know
get
what?
Your money back.
You may be in a situation that you got to take the hit on that and walk away. And move into an apartment or rent a house.
Because that's what's been happening in these past couple of years. Is a lot
that's
of
exactly
people have
right.
been taking this embarrassment of, well, I had to let the house go and go in foreclosure. Now my credit is shot.
That's right. Yep. And that's happening more than people realize. Believe me, I'm in a market to buy a house. And many of the houses I'm looking at, that's exactly what's going on. All right, they're on short sales, bank loans. I'm serious. I mean,
that's
literally,
the
last week I was down in Florida doing that.
But think about it. You know what I'm saying? One of the main reasons why we are in this recession is because the housing market was allowing folks who barely made the credit score or the Beacon score, whatever the case may be, to get that particular house and gave it to them anyway.
Talk about it.
You understand what I'm saying?
Homes and all that
these,
stuff.
These $250,000, $300,000 homes that, you know, in a good economy, ain't no way. They wouldn't even put an application in for, they were doing it anyway.
Talk about it.
You know what I'm saying? Because they already knew it was coming. So they were trying to sell out before then and hoping and wishing that these families would try to find other means to still pay them their money back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and it backfired. Now you got the banks asking government for money. You got
let's not get into that.
But yeah, I'm just saying.
This conversation is going to take a different tone.
Yeah. So here I am.
But you got to look at it.
Listen to what I'm saying. Now here I am. I've never bought a home before, but yet I can put a down payment on a home that will probably, in a good economy, that's worth $500,000. I can put a down payment on that mug and live in it if I wanted to. Right now, with the you know, above average, it ain't great credit. You know what I'm saying? I can buy a home right now and they will give it to me just so they can make money. I can do that. Right now.
You said you've never bought a home.
I've never bought a home before.
I'm gonna give you some advice, bro. Hold on.
I can take out a VA loan right now.
Go do it.
Because I'm not gonna do it. I'm just saying.
Crazy.
I'm not gonna do it.
Now's the time to buy, bro.
No, I'm not gonna do it right now.
Listen to me.
I'm not gonna do it right now. I don't want to buy a home right now. As far as something that my family can grow out of. You dig what I'm saying? I don't have one. So why would I invest money in something that I can't have inside? Now, buying a smaller home, you know, something like 90 grand, something like that, yeah, I'm looking into a market with that, especially in North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm telling you, listen to me. Buy it.
No doubt.
It's not going to be this way forever.
understand it. I'm giving myself a
short sale for 50, 60 grand, 70 grand. I'm telling you, now is the time. A lot of people can't because they're upside down in their house. And they don't have those kind of funds to put down another piece of property. Trust me.
Right.
Okay?
But
if you have the financial means
to
do it, now is the time to buy it.
Yes, it is.
Buy low and sell high.
And listen to this. Listen to this, Andrew.
Yeah.
Why is it now your wife's looking at you? You said that you can handle your business. You bought this house. The house is upside down. She leaves you because you couldn't handle your business. You allowed the family to get in financial debt.
How do you do that? I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, if your house goes upside down and you go in foreclosure, somebody has to take responsibility of that, don't they?
Yeah, your house does not go to foreclosure because you're upside down.
No.
Your house goes to foreclosure because you can no longer make the payment. If you made some poor decisions in getting into the house or, you know, lost income, those things can happen. But that's not a situation, you know, that you don't – I mean, you know, people that bought houses in the last 4 or 5 years, 90% of them are upside down. That doesn't mean you go into foreclosure.
Okay. But it's just the point. You're getting to that point. So, you know, your finances have gone down. Or you lost your job, or something.
See,
that
could happen in any economy. If you lost your job and you can no longer make your house payment, you're going to go into foreclosure.
Right.
And the reality is when you and her sign, you know, that mortgage, maybe you bought too much house. You know?
That's it.
I mean,
that's,
and, you know,
it,
we were talking about, you know, the game they were playing was, well, you know, you don't have to worry about it because the prices are going to go up. You can just refinance, da-da-da-da-da-da. All that kind of thing. Well, you know,
well,
the bubble had to burst.
Didn't realize about buying houses. It really wasn't the house that they were buying. They could buy the house. What the problem was is that they didn't realize that the insurance and the tax was going to be so much.
Yes.
Now
that's all part of buying a house.
You know, they say, oh, you're going to get this $2,000 payment, but now you got to add taxes and insurance on there. Now your payment's been gone to $3,500.
Well, if your payment went from $2,000 to $3,500 with taxes and insurance, somebody is raping you.
It was happening because of the increase. These houses, like, and for instance, I would just say mine. You know, at one time, our taxes went from $2,400 a year to $4,500 when the houses kept booming up. And the prices went up. The taxes went up $2,000 a year for like 2 years, 2-3 years, before it started dropping back down. And what was affecting some folks was it wasn't the payment on the amount, it was the taxes.
Yeah, my taxes is about $1,000 a month, too.
It went up so drastically that people were not prepared for that.
Oh.
And so now your mortgage... And then you, let's say some folks, like I had a fix, so it was never a problem with me, but some bought these adjustables. So not only you got a tax that going up, you had an adjustable rate. So that went up. They put you in there for like 4%, and then 2 years after you got in, it went up to 7%.
Well, I understand. I'm just telling the brother that now's the time to buy, that's all.
No.
Isn't that right, Rodney? He's a banker.
Yes, sir.
But the
Absolutely.
Thing was,
all the robbers.
The whole point of it is when you do get in financial trouble, and your wife looks at you like, "What you gonna do?"
That's when you both sit down and lay everything out and say, "This is the situation. The facts are your friends. These are the facts. This is the situation." And you know what? Sometimes it's sad to say. You do have to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You are in a situation. There's people right now, you know, the wife got sick, something happened, you know, somebody got in the hospital, they got all these bills, and they're, you know, there's no way in a lifetime they could pay it. And they got to go bankrupt. I mean, there's time, things happen.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know, you think you're properly insured and something happens and you're not. I mean, those things happen, and sometimes you got to take a step back. I mean, none of us – I mean, hey, Donald Trump went broke. You know what I mean? It don't matter how high you are. You can go broke.
You know, things happen, things change, and that's when, you know, that's where, you know, I was talking about the other brother that, you know, the wife wouldn't speak to him for 2 months after the purchase was taken back. See, if you have a strong marriage, those things won't happen, okay, because it's stuff, it's money. That's not the marriage. And if your marriage, if those things are happening, there's a deeper problem than you not making enough money. Because anything could happen tomorrow. We could drive out of here and slip and fall, break our leg. I saw a buddy of mine that had a stroke 3 weeks ago, 46 years old. Okay? I mean, those things happen. And if all you are is money, then what do you got?
Yeah, and that brings up another good point about economic adjustments and that can affect the family. What happens if your parent gets sick and the decision is to bring them into your home?
Well, both of you have got to be in agreement on it, first of all.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, because
yeah.
If not,
yeah.
you are destroying your marriage.
Off gate.
Because that can be a very, very, I mean, huge problem if you had to... Your parent is sick and you want to take care of them, you got to get insurance for that, or, you know, your company may not provide you insurance with it, so you're going to have to come out of pocket.
Well, if they got sick, you can't get insurance if they're already sick. All right. But all I'm saying is both of you have to be on that same page to bring that parent into the house.
Man, you had to be on the same line of the same page.
That's exactly right. Because if not, it's such stress on that marriage.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this happened to anybody on the phone, but I've talked to folks that has happened to. Where they had no opportunity. They either had to put the parent into a home, which means they had to start giving up money, and then they had issues outside of the home because another sibling didn't want to pay that money, so you end up paying more.
Again, that's what it comes down to. It really comes down to both of you have to be on that same page, okay? And both of you have to say, okay, you know what? This is our responsibility. And if one of them says, wait a minute, no, our responsibility is to raise our children. It's not to raise our parents. It's not to, you know, it's not to financially take care of our parents. Some people believe and some cultures believe it's their responsibility to take care of their parents. Some cultures don't. Some families do. Some families don't. Both of you have to be on the same page. If both of you are on the same page with that, it's going to cause major problems. Maybe something you want to talk about beforehand. And as our age, do we want to become burdens to our children? Because I don't want to be a burden to my children. And you know what I tell my parents? I don't want nothing from you. Spend it all. I make my money. You go spend it all. Enjoy yourself.
Well deserved.
That's right.
Well deserved.
I get a kick out of bringing my parents with me where I go.
Well, what about independent? When both of you are independent, let's say both of you own your own businesses, and one business is in financial trouble and the other one isn't, is that and you have to, you know, help out that other business, or do you just shut down that business?
Well, I don't do that with my wife.
There was a time
that, you know, just like anything else, you know, you put in, and then you sit down and go, okay, you know, this is something we're not going to be able to continue doing, and that's what happens.
Now, I think some of us, and this is something, this one is me, and this is what I probably want to do. But some of us want to get to the place where they want to start their own business, or they already have their own business. And it's not a fixed income. you know, sometimes you might have some good money coming in and sometimes you may not. How do you, for somebody who wants to start a business, if anybody has their own business can help me out here, how do you structure your finances that way? Do you go see a financial advisor? We haven't talked about that. How good a financial advisor can help out families these days?
Well, I mean, with me, my checks, you know, my settlements fluctuate. I mean, there's never been two checks that were the same. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it all depends on where I feel at, just at the third. I said it's pretty much kind of like you're paying yourself. You dig what I'm saying? You
it's
expect
solid.
Right, exactly. Not make it based on what's the word I'm looking for, man. Make it based on, oh man, what is it? Compensation? No, that's not it. I can't think of it. Lord have mercy. Pretty much what it boils down to is paying yourself and leaving out the rest, and that'll be your budget. You know, as far as what you spend on other things, whether it be your business, whether it be home or personal or whatever the case may be. If you make a lot for the week or for the month, you know what I'm saying? Stack it. Don't pretend you don't even have it. Stack it. You know, that's the only way you're gonna do it. Because when you hit a low point, what makes you think that you're not gonna hit another low point or hit an even lower point? You see what I'm saying? And that's where, as far as what I do for a living, that's how I know I'm good with what I do, because, see, I didn't have the same mindset when I first started. And I learned a very hard lesson. I set aside money now. I forget that I have it. I don't see it in my face. I don't have a credit card where I can swipe it. Nothing. It sits. That's what it does. Because when that rainy day comes, and it's going to come, I have something to fall back on. So pay yourself. Like, let's say my paycheck is, you know, when I get back in and my paycheck is like $3,500. Let's just say that. That's after everything is taken out. Diesel, road tax, maintenance fund, blase. I pay myself only $500. And that's $500 because I have minimum bills. I don't have no car payment. I pay car insurance every month. You know, gas, whatever the case may be. I pay myself $500 every settlement. The rest of that bank, and I can do that because I don't have the responsibilities that y'all fellas have, because you have, you know, wife, family, this, that, and the third. But it's very effective. I don't care if it's $100 a month. Good, that's $100 that you got.
Just bank something.
Just bank something.
Yeah,
that's
I've
the name
my
of the
own
game. Just bank
for 19
something.
Years. And I've always separated my corporate money from my personal money, and I pay myself like an employee.
Exactly.
What'd you say?
Corporation. Pay yourself an employee. Right.
Like your company. Like, hey, Pete. Like your company. You know, whatever money your company is bringing in, your business is bringing in, cut yourself a check out of that. And I think that's a taxable expense, if I ain't mistaken. You know what I'm saying? There you have it. So now you're killing the game, because you can write it as a tax expense.
Right. I'm an employee of my corporation.
There you go.
So my corporation pays me just like it does all my other employees.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Now, obviously, if I need other money, you know, I have access to it. But I get a paycheck every 2 weeks just like my employees do. Okay, and some of my employees make more money than me, all right? I mean, on paper, but that's just a tax deal. But, you know, when you understand, you know, the situation, that's what you do. You pay yourself, and you live to the budget that you pay yourself.
And that's extreme discipline.
You know, I remember talking to my CPA, and he's like, oh, you need to be on a salary. I said, oh, I'll put myself on $100,000 a year. He said, oh, no, you don't understand. He said, no, you don't want to do that. You'll pay too much in taxes. pay yourself a lot less than that. What can you get away on?
That's right.
You know, but, I mean, what you do is you discipline yourself to live to the lifestyle that you, you know, that you can live on and, you know, have your company pay for everything else.
Hmm.
That's right. It's amazing when you have your own business and things that people, you know, don't tell you about how to run your business as far as, you know, the write-offs that you can write off that are very legal.
Right. Like, you know, my company owns my cars, they own everything. My company does. You know, but, you know, most people can't take advantage of those things. But, I mean, that's the facts. And that, you know, people don't understand that if you don't own your own company, you virtually can't take advantage of any of the tax laws in this country. The tax laws in this country are written by people that produce jobs.
And that is, and I understand that. And the reason why I say that is because, we all have dreams. When we come into marriages, you know, your wife has her dreams and you have yours. And either you give them up and don't do them because the economy says something or your finances or something, or you take a risk. And I think a lot of us are scared to do what we do. There's one thing about Tony, Rodney, and myself is we took a risk by getting on this phone call every Tuesday night. We took a risk that, you know, our wives may not believe in what we feel, and they may not think that we're getting anything out of it. They may think that it's a waste of time, that men aren't going to get on the phone and listen to it. But we all had a goal, and we took a risk, and that risk has come to a point where right now we're ready to make business decisions. And going into next year, the reason why I brought this question up is that we're ready to expand on this phone call. And that's another risk, because now – and expanding, you got to do more things, which may take away from your wife. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to know from folks that who have worked and have just beginning the business, how it, you know, how did it affect your family when you have this dream and you have this vision, and that vision you see, you're starting to see the light of this vision, and it's becoming into something. How do you communicate that to the family that we need to take this to the next level?
Well, first of all, here's the deal. The two have become one. And if it's your dream, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, right.
If it's our dream, that's a whole different ballgame. And you both have to share each other's dreams. You know, first of all, and I'm going to tell you this. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true? Okay. Bottom line, I don't care what it is, you've got to have a dream, a big dream. And I'm going to tell you the funniest thing to me, because I think back, my big dream, and it's going to sound crazy as all get out, but my big dream was to get to the end of the month and have $500 laying on a table with nobody's name on it. Now, you know, that's crazy now. I mean, that's, you know, but that was my big dream. I mean, I was working to pay the bills, to get back to work, to pay the bills, to get back to work, to pay the doggone bills. My whole thing was to get to the end of the month and have $500 laying on the table with nobody's name on it. Now, to me, that was a big dream, and it was a big dream. You know, but wherever you are, you've got to have a dream that inspires you to move forward. And if you're inspired, people around you are going to get inspired. Your wife should love you enough where she's inspired by your dreams. And a dream has to be big enough to inspire you. You know, today, you know, to me, I like to, my dreams now are, I like to spend my time where the sun spends the winter, man, on the beaches of the world. You know, I want a condo that I can go to any time in the winter in the Caribbean and live my life and don't have to worry about finances. You know what I mean? And that's a little different than $500, you know, at the end of the month. So your dreams change, you know, but your wife has to be on board with you. And it's got to be something that she says, yeah, I see that. And you know what? I'm behind you. And if she's not, you got to say, honey, I need you to do something. I just need you to trust in me and understand this is the dream that God's given me. And this is what I see for our family. And you may not see it, but I just need you to have faith in me.
Good words. P-Town, you there?
Oh, I'm talking. I had it on mute. I'm sorry. Can y'all hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
I apologize about that. I'm just yapping away and I had it on mute. But that is a great thing, what you just said. And I thank God with God's grace, what we're doing right now is going to not only help marriages, that's been our whole goal, is to make sure that divorce is not an option, but also be able to give us better ideas on how to do that and expand this not only just on this call, but use different avenues that we can get the word out that, men, you have a gateway to save your marriage. You don't have to use abuse as a way to try to save your marriage, or you don't have to go into debt as a way to save your marriage, or you don't have to go outside of the home to save your marriage. And with that being said, I threw it out there earlier, and then some of us heard it at the beginning of the call. But we did it, fellas. We did it. Well, we've gone 2 years, two-plus years, get ready to go on our third year here. And I wanted to talk about this before I hit the stop button because I want to make sure people hear this before, you know, if they go back and listen to the call. But one of our dreams, and it's Tony's dream, it's his vision that we all get on this call every week and we fulfill, but we were able to create a book. And that book is at Amazon right now. I just downloaded it on my Kindle for $9.99. Tony, do you want to take over and talk about it a little bit?
No, I mean you're actually doing a very good job explaining it. I mean, you know, we're all in it. All of us are in the book. It's what we do every Tuesday. And you know, the book is a definite stepping stone. It's a milestone for us. But we still got a long way to go because we got to get these numbers up. We got to get the word out that we have this on Tuesdays, and it's user friendly for everyone, whether you're married, single, divorced, getting married, whatever your situation is. We need to spread this word and have this outlet readily available for everyone. The book will help get the word out, but again, obedience is what we've been doing every single Tuesday, and now we're starting to see some accolades behind it.
And we got people, and this is not only our dream, but I know that everybody on this call has a dream. We have chatters online talk about their dream. We have ministers on saying that economy hasn't ruined their marriage, but it's a challenge. But they're living their dream as becoming a minister.
Yeah.
And their wife is behind them 100%. And thank you, Andrew, for that, because, you know, this one dream started my other dream, which was to start my own business. Basically, just based off what you said, is that we can't help our president solve this economy problem if we're part of the problem. We go out here and start our own businesses.
Yeah.
And we could be one of the solutions. Just like this call is one of the solutions. It's a free call, but it helps expand on what other things people can do. You know, when we talk about economy, we talk about finances, we talk about things that can help people get through their dreams.
And I want to touch on one thing that you said earlier in reference to the support. You may not always get the support from your spouse. Don't take offense to it. You know what I mean? That might be your thing. It may not be your spouse's thing. You know, we can't take it personal. You know, as long as they don't put the roadblocks up and stop us from fulfilling what we have to fulfill, because we're heads of the house. If God gives you something, you know, you gotta see that thing through. You can't let anybody, not even your wife, stop you. She may not understand. You may not even fully understand, but you still have to see it through. You know, sometimes you get the directive first, and then you get the directions later. You see what I'm saying? So if we sign up to do something, your wife, again, may not, she may say, hey, why are you doing that? I've gotten that. Why are you on that call every Tuesday? Why are you on that? You know what I mean?
Hey, Tony.
I couldn't listen.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
You know, in life, there's a lot of what I call dream stealers.
Yeah.
And, you know, God wouldn't put something in your heart that he didn't give you the ability to achieve.
Exactly.
And, you know, I remember when I started my business, people looked at me like I was crazy. I was walking away from an $80,000 a year job, yada, yada, yada. How are you going to do this? You're going to fail, this and that. And you know what? At some point, you got to suck it up, and you got to say, hide in the bushes and watch.
Yes.
Because you know what? There's a bunch of people in this world that don't want to see you succeed.
Man, there's a bunch of people in the world that just want to see the world burn.
That's right. And you know what? There was a bunch of people in my life that told me what I couldn't, wouldn't, shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of them are calling me now wanting to borrow money.
Wow.
Save zone.
I get a dollar.
Save zone. That's what I'm talking about.
Can I get a dollar, Andrew?
Yeah, no problem, man. But I'm serious. You're going to have dream stealers. And you got to hang on and say, okay, hide in the bushes and watch.
That's right. That's
okay? Right. Because you know what? The tongue in your shoes will do a lot more talking than the tongue in your mouth. And if you're one of these guys that have talked a lot and your wife has lost faith, you need to step up and show her the action.
Exactly.
Stop talking and start walking it.
Right.
Man,
I got a real good buddy of mine that his wife has lost faith because all he does is talk.
Mm-hmm.
He has what I call the Idea of the Month Club.
Wow.
Okay. And he never sees anything through. Okay. And he's been on this call. But the bottom line is, you've got to follow through. And whatever it takes, you got to persevere.
Yep.
And I agree.
So,
I got to give a shout out to my wife because, you know, even with this, she has called her friend. She talked to her friend about getting on this call. She doesn't know if they get on or not, but because some folks get on anonymous and some just listen. But she's also, look, went on her Facebook and put the company name and called it our company name and put she's
Girl.
The president.
Mm-hmm.
So she's already taking ownership and come.
Yep.
And that is the greatest thing when you have that backing.
And if you continue to move toward that goal, if you continue, you see, success is not a destination.
No.
It's the progressive realization of a worthwhile dream.
Yeah.
It's moving toward it. It's not the point that you reach. It's what you become on the way to that place. That's what success is. That's the beauty of this call. God gave Tony a dream. He didn't understand it. He probably thought, this can't be. But God
I didn't
want to
do
his
it.
Heart.
No, Andrew, no, you missed it. I didn't want to do it.
That's right.
I'm not doing that. Are you crazy? I'm not getting no man on the phone.
Okay.
What are you going to talk about? I'm not doing that.
Not going to do it.
But
I said, man, they could, you know.
Persevered.
But
even when he didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing a lot of people don't realize. Success will not attack you. Okay? There's no success monkey. You ain't going to be walking down the street and the success monkey come jumping out the alley beating you up.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
Okay? Success is a door that doesn't want to let you in. Mm. And you keep pounding it and pounding it. And one day he goes, oh, well, you know what? This bro ain't gonna go away, but let him in. All right, come on in.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you like this, man. I learned, you know, I was watching my church online Sunday. Pastor talking about the same exact thing. The same exact thing. He pretty much says, when God gives you something, you know, the only thing that's holding you back from your dreams is your fear.
Yep.
You know, when God gives you something, you know, he gives you this vision of you doing something out of the norm of your life. Something that you've never done before. Something that all you see, and for the most part, what people will see is only the goodness that comes out of it, the money that comes out of it. But nobody, what people fail to realize is the pain, the suffering, and the sacrifice you got to put into in order to get to that goodness, that, you know, getting paid and being successful. And that's what most people are scared of. They're scared of going through that, walking across that hot burning sand to get to that oasis, to get to that success. And most of the time, like I said, these words from my pastor, most of the time when God gives you a vision, people will do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Because you're putting yourself, because you got to put yourself out there, and you're not willing, and you're scared to do that.
Here's the funny thing. See, there is a price for success.
It is.
Okay? And the price is steep. But see, most people don't realize there's a price for failure.
There it is.
And the price for success you pay for a short time. And you reap the benefits for the rest of your life. But the price for failure you endure for your whole life.
Yep.
You see? And when you understand that, you're going to pay the price. You might as well suck it up and do the thing that's burning your heart. You see, here's the real deal. Most people won't get their butt out of the way. You see, they say, I would do it, but.
Yeah.
That, but. You don't understand my situation, but. If you get your butt out of the way and suck it up and go for it, I'm going to tell you what, I'm like this. In my life, I was either going to be extremely rich or extremely poor. Because here's the deal. It's the bottom of the ninth. It's the World Series. It's the seventh game, and we're down 3-2. You know what I'm saying to the coach? Give me the bat.
That's it.
Because I want to be the brother up there swinging. If I go down, I go down, but give me the bat.
And that's how I feel about my expenses here at the house. And I feel like if we're going through some things, we're gonna take care of anything that we can, is, you know, financially, to get us ourselves out of this hole. If that's me starting a business, that's me going to get 2-3 jobs, getting these gray hairs. You know, right now I got to go find a tutor for my kids. Because they're just bad in one subject. And thank goodness it's the same subject, which is math, which I don't understand because I'm a math person. But there's another spit. So my wife was like, well, we're in this financial bond. Where are we going to get this money? I'm not worried about where we're going to get the money. As long as these kids get this math right, we'll figure that out. And I guarantee you when I start this company, we won't have any other problem because I will not fail. I will not fail this family. And that's just how I live. I'm not going to fail my wife, and I'm not going to fail God, and I'm not going to fail this family. So you got to do whatever.
Here's a news flash. She's looking for a leader.
Right.
You talk to any woman, she's looking for a leader.
I want to make a confession.
Hey.
Make a confession. I probably have 4 books in my house, and all of them are, none of them are finished. I read the Bible, but I've not finished it. Bought a few books, like I said, a friend of mine, whoever, something interesting, I'll read through it, get bored, put it down. Reading is not my thing. I watch a movie all day long, but reading is not my thing. Through school, never really, you know, if I had to write a term paper or whatever, whatever, I did it just because I had to do it. But in reference to liking to do it, I didn't really like to do that either. I was more of a sports guy. Sports, I'm interested in anything outside of that, I could care less. And, you know, this vision of this call came. And I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it. And finally, we had one call. And it was good. So then next week, we had another call, and so on, and so on, and so on. But when it came in three. It said, you're going to have the call, you're going to write a book, and then you're going to boost up your website so people can come and get help when they need it. And I was like, yeah, right, I hate. Still fighting it. You know, lady came to me at my job one day. She wasn't even supposed to be at my job. She was in the wrong place. And as I'm giving her directions to the right place, she has these long nails. And she's like, man, these nails get in the way when I'm typing. I'm like, you type? She said, yeah, about 100 words a minute. I said, can you do dictation? She said, yeah. I said, how much would you charge? She said, like $25. Wow. So now I got a dictator, somebody who can a transcriber, somebody who can transcribe stuff for me and start writing this book. So then people started coming out of the woodwork that can help with this book because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And Andrew can testify because Andrew took the book cover. And when we were standing there modeling for the book cover, they were like, well, what do you want me to do? I said, I don't know. Stand there and model. I don't. This is not my thing. I don't know. Andrew, right?
That's right.
Right? But guess what? We got through it. We got through it. And today, some strange, crazy way, I'm a published author. And it's all because of what the direction I was given. All you do in life, if God tells you to do something, just show up.
Show up.
And everything and everybody will be given to you. And it'll happen. And it's still a little surreal at this point. You know what I mean? But I do want it. But it's been a long year and a half trying to get this thing done, and it's done. You know, but again, I've never really been a big reader, never a big buyer of books, but who would have thought that? And I mean, I hope I never sit on somebody's couch. They're going to be like, well, how many books have you read? He's like, I don't know. I may have to lie. You see what I'm saying? But it's all about the obedience of what we had to go through week after week after week. And we are, you know, and I think that we're in a great place. So whenever you, just like Andrew said, when God gives you something, pay attention.
You know, it's funny that you said that because, you know, Glenn and I, what we do, we just started with a new couple this week, today, and one of his assignments is going to be to get on this call. Because he didn't have a father, okay? He's never had any guidance, and he does not know how to be a man of God leading his family. And one of his assignments is going to be to get on this call weekly.
Wow, that's huge.
Because you followed that dream, you three, that God gave you, this avenue will be there for me to be able to funnel him into.
Huge. You know what though? You know what? You know what I like about this phone call, and it's coming from a single man. You know what I like about this phone call is the fact that the truth rings. See, people. I mean, I'm on Facebook constantly because I ain't got nothing else to do when I'm inside this truck. All
right. That's why me and Rodney on Facebook constantly too.
Right. Now, my thing is, y'all can testify. People will put out their personal business crazy, right?
Isn't that crazy?
And no, check it. But not only that is when someone would tell the truth of the matter, they don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody says something that they can attach themselves to, they will agree with that because that's how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
When, in regards of how you feel, it's not the truth.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? This is what I love about this phone call. Because I soak all of this up like a sponge, but you don't understand.
Mm.
You don't understand how many what I'm going to do next year to boost y'all up.
Mm.
Because I mean, matter of fact, can y'all? I mean, we can have females on this call.
No, they can listen.
Can't have females on this call. All right, no problem. Let's see what else I can do. I network like crazy.
Okay.
I mean, look what I do for a living. I'm all over America. I network like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't like I can't meet somebody, okay, householdstress.com, you know, hey, you know, check it out every Tuesday night, boom, here's the number. You know, say no more. If you like it, you like it. You don't, fine.
That's right.
But
the truth
reigns. So it ain't like I ain't trying to tell you what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let this group of guys tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
You don't think that I'm just being, you know, sarcastic to you or being mean to you. No, I'm gonna tell you the truth about it because they live it every day. They have wives. They've had problems. They got issues. So you ain't the only one.
And you know, it's so beautiful because, you know, some of us were raised with fathers and some of us weren't. And where are you gonna learn how to be a husband? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Is it that easy, Andrew?
What'd you say?
Is it that easy?
Is it that easy?
Uh-huh.
Say that again?
Is it that easy?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But there's a lot of dudes that don't know how to be a husband.
No, that's right.
And you know what? Where are they going to get guidance?
True.
They're going to get it from their boys talking about, you know, the football game?
The dudes from the street.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that was you, baby B.
Yeah, that was me asking you for the dollar earlier, man.
You're getting out of bed. Hey, y'all know Brian, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, man, 690 I bowled on Sunday.
I know you got busy, boy. I was like, good.
I'm ready to end this call, but I wanted to say before we keep going on open mic that we thank y'all for all that you do again for this year. We can't wait for this to move on forward with the book going into next year. So let me end this call.